Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
But the goal of Jenga is stability, is it not? As you're pulling up, the goal is to maintain stability of the structure of the tower so that it doesn't crumble, so that it doesn't come crashing down. And think about this. I was thinking about this a couple weeks ago when I was working on this message. And you know, at first you find the one, and man, it just like slides right out. So, I mean, you don't even have to work at it. But as you get higher, and if you're like me, sometimes I'd put that one right there. Well, not right now, but if I was playing someone, I would. And you know, initially you're just like, you just pull it out. But as it goes up, you have to concentrate, and maybe you become a lip biter, you know, or you're like put your tongue in your cheek as you're concentrating to pull that thing out, or you like inhale because you don't want to exhale while you're pulling it out because you might like, you know, you didn't brush your teeth that morning and the thing comes coming, I don't know. But anyway, you're thinking, man, I'm playing so well. And all of a sudden, what happens? I just want to do it just for the sound effects today, but I'm not going to. You make the wrong decision. You got impatient. You ran into opposition, and it didn't come out like you thought it would come out. And let me just say to you, what is true in Jenga is also true in life, isn't it? You grow impatient, make a bad decision. You make a wrong decision, and something around you crumbles. And when we can spend so much time building on something, and in an instant, it can all come crashing down. Isn't that true? I was reading a book right now. The staff is reading a book, and the author referenced the Golden Gate Bridge. The Golden Gate Bridge, built in the 30s, $35 million to build this bridge. It took them 4 years to build the bridge. But in a matter of minute, with the right seismic activity on the coast of California, that thing would crumble within a matter of a minute. 4 years wiped out, $35 million gone in a matter of 60 ticks on the clock. So true in life. How many know we need stability? I was thinking about this just in my family and situations that have happened in my household. When I was younger, as you know, I've shared before, my parents got divorced when I was in fifth or sixth grade, not we. But when I was in fifth or sixth grade, they got divorced. And I can remember a night, and I think I've shared this story before, but I can remember a night that I had been with my dad during the evening, and he brought me home. And he was sitting out in front of our house. We were sitting in his minivan, his work truck, and he began to just talk to me. He had owned his own business. He'd gotten remarried, and life was beginning to really shake in his world. And I can remember as a fifth grader sitting there in the front seat of my dad's minivan, and my dad beginning to weep and beginning to tremble, his voice beginning to tremble, because he saw his world crumbling. His marriage had crumbled because of bad financial decisions. His business that he had built that had become a really strong business was crumbling right before his very eyes in the early 80s because of the financial distress within the economy of our nation. Crumbling. And as a fifth grader sitting there with my dad, what do you say, 11-year-old, to your dad as his world is crumbling? And he's sitting right next to you, and he's crying. What do you say? And I can remember that moment so poignant. Even yesterday, I was thinking about it as it was his birthday. Yes, it would have been his birthday yesterday. But God, how many know God speaks to the importance and the how necessary stability is in our life. How much he cares about it. Jesus talks about it to his early followers. Look at it in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. He says this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and it could not shake it because it had been built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like the man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Here's a quick lesson. Your stability is determined by your foundation. Your ability to navigate what life is throwing at you now or in the coming weeks is dependent upon your foundation. Scripture is full of examples for us of people who did this right and people who didn't do this right. People who didn't do it right, I think of the prophet Eli, who didn't build his house right, his foundation, his family began to crumble. I think of King Saul, same scenario. I think of the nation of Israel, on and on and on we could go. Even in just in a natural way, it's so true. This last year, in the 90s, Oklahoma experienced, with all the rain that we had, Oklahoma experienced a tremendous amount of flooding. And if you remember the imagery that was showing up of the river, the Red River, or various rivers just washing through. And I think I have some pictures, if you would throw that up there for me. A picture of a house, just, it was built good, but all of a sudden, its foundation was beginning to be eroded. And then, remember those? If you saw any of those on the newscast, all of a sudden, the house would drop off into the river and just be swept down current. You think of images of the hurricanes that have hit down in the Dominican Republic. Not Dominican Republic. Where was the big one that hit? Bahamas. Thank you. This is participatory this morning, all right? The Bahamas and the devastation and how things were moved right off of their foundation. I think of in the late 70s, me and my dad went up to up the Big Thompson Canyon outside of Loveland and for a camping trip, a fishing trip, just a father-son deal. It was an awesome time, and we loaded up in the station wagon that had wood paneling. Anyone here that had a wood paneling station wagon this morning? Come on, right? It's just like, it was like the minivan of the day, right? How many of you rode in the back of it facing backwards, and you were distracting individual to the car that was following you, right? But anyway, we went up there. It started raining that evening, so we slept inside the station wagon. I think, Robin, we need to go buy a station. She's like, no way, we're not doing it. But anyway, we were camping sleeping in the back of the station wagon, woke up. All of a sudden, we woke up to someone knocking on our window. A ranger was knocking on our window saying, "You guys need to evacuate now because of the flood. Because of all the rain that we've had, a flood has happened." And as we left to get out of the canyon, we were seeing pictures like that, where houses were being ripped away from their foundation, their foundation being just underroded because of the river running so high. Here's a reminder. The storms that test our foundation isn't a respecter of your social status, your economic status. It's not a respecter of your name, your life experience, or your calendar. It rains on the just and on the unjust. Scripture tells us. Jesus said it's so important that you build on the right foundation. And he talks about what the foundation is. Look at it, verse 50 or 47. "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like." Jesus is beginning to point them to the right foundation. He says, bring your life, not your emotions. Not build your life on me. Don't build it on your emotions. Don't build it on your life. Don't build it on your dreams. Don't build it on your checkbook. Not that those things are necessarily bad, but though, if we build our life on those things, instability is going to happen. Because you can't control the outcome of so many of those things that we try to build our life on. The right foundation enables a structure to stand the test of time. And it isn't just important that we have a foundation, but it's important that you have the right foundation. If your stability is determined by your foundation, then your foundation is only as good as your cornerstone. The cornerstone that you select. And you're like, Steve, well, what's a cornerstone? Because we don't use that terminology in our architect today. The cornerstone was a special stone. In ancient times, it was foundational. It was paramount in the building of a structure. The cornerstone was sought out. It was special. You wouldn't start a project until you found this stone first. Time was spent finding and laying this cornerstone. The cornerstones are now, how many know, are more decorative. They're more just ceremonial in buildings today. This past week, I went to Nest City wanted to see a church that had just been planted and spend some time with the pastor and then just take a day and a half of just praying and seeking the face of God. And so driving up there, I went through one small town and there was this church there on Main Street and you could see the cornerstone so clearly of that structure. So it's more ceremonial. It wasn't the strength of the structure as it was in what Isaiah is talking about and other references that we're going to look at here in a moment. But the Bible talks about the chief cornerstone. And with the cornerstone, architect is everything. It would set the trajectory of the structure and the strength of the structure. And if you were a builder, there were attributes that you were looking for in a cornerstone to make sure that it was right and that it was trustworthy. And so there are three things about a cornerstone that would make it strong, that they would look for. Number one was that it was there was precision, or it was, it was precious. The greatest value in that structure, in that building, was the cornerstone. It would cost more than anything else that they would put in that building. It was the most expensive piece of the building. They would take the most time and the most energy to develop that cornerstone. The value of the building and everything that would be placed in that building was trusting that cornerstone. It was resting on that cornerstone. So it was precious. Secondly, it was pressure tested. The stones had to pass through some incredible tests if it was going to be a cornerstone. The stone was going to be under incredible stress, incredible amounts of weight, and so it had to be strong. It had to have integrity that could hold whatever weight that would rest upon it so that it didn't crumble and fall and the structure wouldn't fall in on itself. If there was a breakdown in the strength of the stones, guess what would happen? The walls of that structure would just implode on itself. And you think about how that applies to our life. That if we try to build our life on our different identities that we could try to put our life around, what happens when some of that stuff is taken away? Man, you see it all the time. Things begin to fold and implode on themselves. The third part of the cornerstone was this, that it was precious. Precision of the building depended on it. The cornerstone was the absolute guide for the entire building. Now we use blueprints, right? Back then, they would use the cornerstone. The dimensions of the cornerstone would ultimately shape the dimensions of the building. In Jenga, as you're going up, as you're building the blocks, and that structure is rising up, if I can find one that will cooperate with me, if I put that there and I do this to it and I don't center it right, and if I would be even a little bit more dramatic with that and push it out, what's going to start happening as the structure goes up even more? It's going to start leaning towards you, right? It's going to lose the stability. It's going to grow weaker and weaker and weaker. And when a builder doesn't follow the blueprint, the windows, the door frames, the plumbing, everything gets out of alignment, doesn't it? The same is true with our lives. Our lives are ultimately being shaped by the cornerstone, whatever that cornerstone may be. That's what's shaping our lives. Isaiah 28 speaks to the attributes of the cornerstone. Look at it with me, verse 16. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It is a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Whoever believes, never be shaken. The prophet Isaiah is prophesying. He's proclaiming that the Messiah is getting ready to come to Israel, to the people of not just Israel, but to all of creation. And he is a cornerstone. He is a precious stone. He is trustworthy. And these two words, that it's precious and it passes the pressure test, are seen here. In verse 17, I will test you with a measuring line of justice and a plumb line of righteousness. This is the way that the Lord is measuring a building. It's accurate and it's strong. And if you build on the cornerstone that this prophet is talking about, that you'll never be shaken. And the same is true with our lives. If you build on the right cornerstone, our lives, though there will be storms, though there will be trials, though there will be difficulties, if you build on the right foundation, you'll survive those. You'll be able to navigate those. We can live with a confidence and security when the storms roll in. Here's a key thought. The Lord is about your foundation. God cares, no matter who you are in this place, no matter if you're a follower of Jesus or if you're like, I'm not sure where I'm at. No, I don't believe in God. Let me just tell you the heart of God for all of us in this place. The Lord is about your foundation. He cares for your foundation. While the world is about the structure. The world is about the looks. The world is about the glitz and the glamour and how we look, how we line up against one another. Understand, God made plans long ago to send a cornerstone. God saw and he knew how sin was going to ravage people's lives. God saw the situation and said, I am sending the answer. I'm sending something that you can build your life on. And if you're building your life without God, you'll never win. It's like the game of Jenga. I'm not playing to win, I'm playing not to lose. And if I build my life on the wrong things, eventually it's all gonna collapse. I'm gonna pull out the wrong block and it's gonna implode on itself. And God says, listen, I'm sending you a precious cornerstone. This cornerstone is perfect. You can build your life on it. You can trust me on this, that the cornerstone that God sent wasn't a stone. It wasn't like something from, a galactic meteor or anything like that. It was his son. It was Jesus. John, the apostle John, wrote it this way in John chapter 1, verse 14. The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. He saw the glory. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like father, like son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. One of the many names that Jesus is given in Scripture is cornerstone. You see it in 1 Peter chapter 4, or chapter 2, verse 4. You're coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. This is who Jesus is. He's the cornerstone that holds our life together. You and I have been given a choice to what we're going to use as our cornerstone. True? 1 Peter 2:4, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. So, in other words, Peter is saying, listen, there was people that rejected God's best, God's plan for their salvation, for the redemption of humanity. Still happens today. But we're given this opportunity to receive this incredible cornerstone, one that will last. Spiritually, we have opportunity to make that choice as well. But also, as we look at our lives, I know as I've looked at my life through, prior to coming to Christ, and even after I've come to Christ, there's been seasons when I was young in my walk with Jesus where I would find myself taking things and trying and beginning to put more energy and more effort in things that wouldn't last a storm. And we take lesser things and we build our life around them, or we build our life on them, We donate incredible amounts of time to them. And some of them aren't bad. But when the storm hits, what's going to get us through? We can choose a cornerstone to be our career. We can choose a cornerstone to be our companionships, our relationships. We can choose comparison to be our cornerstone. Well, I'm better than so-and-so, so I'm ahead of them. I'm stronger than them. We can base it on our confidence. It's about me. It's what I can do. We can base it on our bodies and how we care for our bodies. And man, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure I take care of my body. And I'm always going to be in the top shape. And I'm always going to do this. And I'm always going to do this. But how many know the chest slips to the drawers? Just saying. Some of you will like, about 3 o'clock today, you'll get that maybe. But someday you will if you don't. Anyway, whenever we choose a lesser cornerstone, we're building our life on reworked rubble. What happens when shaking comes? You know what happens? We shake. I think about Dave Ramsey, and I'll use his story because he's a familiar public figure, but Dave Ramsey tells his story, his testimony, that as a young man, he had everything. He thought he had the world by the tail, man. He was financially, he was doing well until he got overextended and his world crumbled and he lost everything. Only to come to faith in Christ, only to rebuild his life on Christ and see God working in his life. It's an incredible testimony. If our cornerstone is built on our health, then what happens when you get sick? You're shaken. If it's on our job, if it's on our careers, what happens when the downturn happens, like it did with my dad? Or you get older and you're not the first choice anymore for the job that you're applying for. What do? When you choose lesser cornerstones, the foundation kicks out on us. And we start, you know, we start scrambling, we start searching, and we're hoping to have a better foundation, and all of a sudden, we pull too hard, and the whole thing, how many of you know, if you play with big Jenga, better watch your toes. I heard that earlier today, I'm just saying. I can remember, as I already said, sitting in the car with my dad that night, as he was so scared because his world was collapsing. Let me ask you a question. Have you been there? Where you look at your life and all you see is rubble. And you're like, how am I going to survive this? Can I just encourage you as we turn the corner this morning that there is a cornerstone that you can build your life on, that you can rebuild your life on. For the believer, you may have had your structure shaken before, but you sit here amongst us this morning as a testimony of the faithfulness of God, that man, if you build your life upon Jesus, you will be able to endure the rising tides of life and be secure. You can see beyond the mess and the rubble because your eyes are set on Christ. You learn a great lesson from it, is that you can expect stability from Christ, but you can't expect stability from unstable things. Why look at things that can change, all of us, why look at things that can change when you have God and the opportunity to serve a God that is unchangeable? That is a cornerstone. We look to things that fail us when we have a God who will never leave us nor forsake us. And the problem isn't the storm. The problem is the foundation. And if we trust in lesser cornerstones, things will shake. I mean, we can't expect stability from unstable things. And what does it look like to have trust, a trust Jesus first mindset? if we could do this game, and I won't do it for the sake of time, but how many have ever played the trust fall game, right? Where you have people behind you, and you're like, okay, and you lean back, you start leaning back, and once your balance point, what? You break your balance point, you're going, and you're depending, and you're hoping that they're still behind you, and you're hoping that they like you, right? And you go, and they catch you, but maybe they don't. Maybe they, like, aren't strong enough to hold you up, or whatever the scenario may be. But once you get past that center of gravity, you're going. There's nothing that you can do. You're going to fall. And when we trust Jesus, can I just put this imagery in your mind? The center of gravity moves from based on you to based on him. To have Jesus as your cornerstone means that you're able to put all the weight of your life, all the weight of your situation, not on your pivot point, but upon him. You're resting in him. I don't know about you. There's been storms, there's been trials that Robin and I have been through that could have shook us, that did shake us. It could have totally knocked us off our foundation if we would have let it. If we would have got our eyes off of Jesus. That's why I'm so thankful. One man's counsel to us during one storm. Steve, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And that became my motivation. That became my center point. Man, God, I don't like this. I was done wrong. I would blah, blah, blah. But God, blessed are the pure in heart. Man, you are my cornerstone. You are my foundation. As long as I build and I stay centered on you, I'm going to be free. I'm going to be strong in the Lord and the power of your mind. I'm going to be balanced on you. You know, it's freeing, but it's also scary. Because you and I are really good in putting a lot of confidence in ourselves, aren't we? Peter preached Christ as the cornerstone in Acts chapter 4, verses, all through Acts chapter 4 he does, but he wrote to the early believers in 1 Peter, and he reminded them of Christ being the cornerstone. We looked at that earlier. But the psalmist wrote in Psalms 118, verse 22, as he was looking forward into the plans of God, speaking of this cornerstone, speaking of this foundation. And he talked about it, but two verses later, he said these powerful words, these famous words. If you've been in church, you've heard them before. After speaking of the cornerstone, he said this: "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us what? Rejoice and be glad in it." How in the world can you do that? In the midst of your life being shaken, in the midst of trying to navigate culture pressures and culture issues and all this stuff that is shaking all the time, how do you do that? You know how you do it? You know who your cornerstone is. No wonder the psalmist can say, "This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Thank you, Jesus. It's not up to me holding all of this together. You're the cornerstone. Because how many know, people will let you down. Somebody's going to take your role today. And you're going to get up. No, I'm just kidding. No one take your role. There's plenty of roles. Bad illustration. People will frustrate you. They'll disappoint you. People will abandon you if you make a bad decision. People will question you if you make a poor decision. Not a question, hopefully they question out of concern, but they'll also question out of judgment. It's interesting to me that we live in a society that is supposed to be so tolerant and neutral, but drags people's stuff through the public streets so willingly. Carrie Newhoff said this: "Nobody is ever going to pay you to work on your character. They'll just fire you if you don't." So what's the, that's foundation stuff. That's corner stuff. So what's the answer? Jesus said this in John chapter 14: "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." God is a faithful God. Part of his faithfulness is so that you can rest on him, so that you can put your burdens on him. See it in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. He says this, look, I'm placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It's a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Whoever believes in me never will be shaken. Jesus is that stone. So, question. Here in a moment, we're going to pray. What do we do with that? How do we respond to that? What's God's counsel to say to that? In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul, the Apostle Paul, hero of the faith, is writing to the early church, and he reminds them of this, and he says this, you are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. It all comes back to and is based on Jesus. Know this. Robin, if you'd come, worship team, you'd come. Know this. You are loved. Steve, I know that. I hear that at church all the time. Can I remind you, before the foundations of the earth and before the world was in the condition that the world was in, God knew when you would be here. God had a plan for you. God knew what your life would be like. He would know the bumps and the bruises of life that would unfold in, before you. And can I just say this? You are loved. Whether you want to acknowledge that or see that or have encountered that, you are loved. Your brokenness doesn't have to determine your future foundation. You're loved. Secondly, is that you can build on this foundation and be confident. Because here's the deal. Though, as if we would unpack Isaiah 28 more and go on into Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, you would see what Jesus did and what Jesus accomplished, that he took the weight of the sins of the world upon him. How many have ever made a decision, it was a bad decision, and you felt the weight of that decision? You're like, man, I don't want to have to see that person face to face because I knew I said something wrong or I did something, and you felt the weight of that. Jesus took the weight of the sins of the world upon him in one moment on a hillside called Golgotha on the cross. And the weight of the sins of the world couldn't crush Jesus. But he triumphed over them 3 days later, as Scripture tells us that he rose from the dead. And he extends this grace, this unmerited favor, this unearned favor to us through the power and the story of his coming as we get ready to celebrate Christmas, living out his life, being that sacrifice, rising again for our sins so that we can be in right relationship with Christ. Incredible. And finally, our lives take on the shape of our cornerstone. As you sit here, in a moment I'm going to ask you to just bow your head and just reflect on this message right where you're at. And you think about what you're building your life on, knowing that our life is going to take on the shape of our cornerstone. Now, that can be great news. That can be like, well, I don't know the end of that story news. Or for some of us in this place, you look at your life and you're like, man, that's really scary news. But Jesus, we build our life on Christ, God's plan is that our life would begin to take on the shape of the cornerstone, which is precious, which is beautiful, which is full of hope, which is full of life, which is full of purpose, which is full of eternity. Listen, that's God's plan. That is why we're able to have a Thanksgiving. Amen? Because of what God has made available to us. That, you know what? It's not about my perfection. It's about what Christ did. I'm I'm dependent upon him. I'm building upon him. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, this morning, I thank you for everyone that's here. I thank you for their attentiveness. I thank you for their willingness just to track with me using this illustration of the game Jenga. But God, we come to this point and we bow our heads before you. We look at our life with the thought of our life takes on the shape of our cornerstone. And what are we building our life on? God, I don't ask that question to threaten any of us. I ask that question because my prayer for all of us is that we would be building our life on something that is precious, something that has been tried, something, Father God, that is precise, that's pressure tested. And Lord, as we look at history, as we look at our own lives, may there be a confidence and a faith that would arise within us that says, you know what, as the old song says, on Jesus Christ, my only hope, I build my life upon him. I'm not going to put my confidence in anything but Jesus. As we sang that song earlier, Cornerstone, God, you're good. And Lord, as we bow our heads before you right now, if there's someone here today that is like, man, there's something going on in my heart. I know that I've not built my life on the right cornerstone. Jesus, I want to step towards you as you've stepped towards me. And I want to give you your rightful place. Lord, right where they're at today, Lord, that they would just simply say, Lord, that's me. I want to build my life upon you. I know I don't understand everything, but I know that I can trust you. And God, I trust you. Forgive me of my sins. And may I become all that you would have me to be, both now and for eternity, by your grace, by your mercy. And Lord, for this Thanksgiving day, as we celebrate Thanksgiving as a church body today, Lord, I pray that there would just be incredible gratitude for the cornerstone of Christ Jesus in our lives. And Lord, that we would just be anchored in you. Lord, we love you. You're our hope. You're our treasure. You're our firm foundation. In Jesus' name we pray.
Everybody dance. Everybody,
this concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.